Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. Have you felt stuck, cooped up, or walled in from time to time over the last year? Maybe you found some new opportunities amidst challenges, new ways to be more of the you you want to be. As we navigate the returning expectations that we go back to our old ruts, this is the perfect moment to talk about new grooves. This week, Greg Meyer reminds us how we groove. Spoiler alert, it's not on our own.
I've been around for a while, and I've got to think back a long time to remember so many historic weeks in such a short time. This historic week is the one-year mark at the murder of George Floyd by Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, which tipped the balance on this long, slow march toward racial justice. Chris, my wife, and I were at George Floyd Square that evening. We didn't quite know what to expect, but for me, it released a huge weight of tension and ambiguous feelings I'd been holding all week. Just being with the thousands who gathered in celebration, mourning, and most of all, I sensed, in determination to not give up the progress that has been made, it was good for my soul. It gave me hope. Hope for a future that we can build on the other side of the river. That river is the Jordan River. The river Israel stood on the banks of thousands of years ago after their journey through the wilderness, leaving their slavery and oppression in Egypt that lasted 400 years. Waiting for them on the other side was a new groove. Behind them were their old ruts. Last week, Melissa Locke walked us through all the transitions to new grooves that we face today. George Floyd's life and death represents one of them. The pandemic and its ripples into our economy and our social interactions and work habits are other big ones, as are the environment and the social and political polarization, all new grooves we need to step into. That is, if we don't want to just recreate the past, and good luck with that. And then we each have our own life transitions, big and small. Maybe not societally earth-shaking, but for you or me, they're as big as any in the newspaper. Yeah, those, the ones in your mind right now. Take a breath. They're real. They need you to figure out what to do with them. Oh yeah, Fabric has a new groove too. A new version of an old groove, at least. We are starting to meet in person next week, June 6th. For the months of June and July, we're going to be outdoors at Minnehaha Falls Bandstand. Real people, a band, the real thing. All that stuff we did 60-some weeks ago. It'll be different. Yeah, new grooves are kind of hard. There still will be a podcast, but you're going to have to wait until Sunday afternoon for it. So join us at the Falls if you can. Details are on our website, fabricmpls.com, or on our Facebook page. Anyway, new grooves. They may sound great, but they're hard because they mean change, and it's easier to just keep doing what you already know how, whether it works or not. Like that mess in your house that after 6 weeks you no longer see. Messes you notice right away if you saw them in someone else's house, wondering why they don't clean them up. But in your house, you're blind. You haven't noticed them for weeks. We let our old ruts slide. It's hard to escape a well-worn rut. But ruts go where they will, and while they may have headed where you wanted once upon a time, chances are now that you're just stuck and they're taking you for a ride. Life is in the new groove. And so, as Melissa said, echoing Moses' voice of long ago, we need to choose. Another thing Moses said, as did Melissa, was remember. All the more appropriate since this is Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day, contrary to popular belief, is more than a 3-day weekend. It is a remembering of our past so that we can honor it and choose a better future. In particular, remember those who have given their lives for freedom. I guess I'd put George Floyd and the hundreds of others who lost their lives to police violence in that camp. What Moses and the countless generations who held these words because of the deeply woven wisdom within them, what they were telling us is this. Remembering isn't reminiscing. It isn't longing for the good old days. No, remembering is recognizing where we are now and what got us here so that when we cross the river, we can be who we aspire to be. You see, your ability to move into the future depends on how well anchored you are in your past. And that's not so easy either. Imagine way back when, this entourage of people in the wilderness. As the story paints it in the book of Deuteronomy, it's tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people who have wandered for 40 years, two generations, a figurative number in Jewish thought that meant as long as is humanly possible. And they're finally just a river crossing away from the land that they've dreamt about and told stories of for decades. And Moses stops them. Cool it, guys. Not so fast. What? Not so fast? Are you kidding us? We just spent 40 years on a trip that should have taken a couple months, and you're telling us to slow down? I'm sorry, we're crossing, ready or not. But Moses somehow manages to keep them on the near side of the river long enough to remember. Remember where they came from, why they had come so far and endured so much, and what they had learned from their experience in the wilderness and the teaching, the Torah that they'd received from Yahweh, the Lord, I am who I am. That's the balance, isn't it? One doesn't come that far to not cross the river, do they? I mean, you wouldn't, would you? But then if you don't remember the why, if you haven't done the unlearning you need to do to get out of your old ruts, and you just jump across the other side, it's unlikely that you're going to do anything more than recreate your old ruts in a new place. You'll bring the oppression you worked so hard to escape along with you in new forms. What banks do you stand on today? What new groove awaits you? And what do you need to remember so that the new groove isn't just a redecorated version of your old rut? You know, when I think about grooves, I think about LPs. You know, vinyl. 33 and a third records that you play on a turntable. Records are just one continuous groove from the beginning out on the edge of the disc, running all the way to the center at the end of the record. That groove just goes round and around and around and around, barely getting anywhere. To be in a groove like that feels frustrating. I can see the middle of this record from here. Can't I just jump over there, skip the groove, and get to my destination? Well, suppose you could. I had some LPs with those kinds of skips. The needle would just scoot across the grooves in the middle of the second song and jump to the center, and it was terrible. The point wasn't getting the needle to where the grooves ended. The point was following the grooves. It was the music along the way that the grooves played, right? Shortcuts on a record are a defect. If you want to hear the song, you gotta stay in the groove. Last week, Melissa ended with Israel's realization that their 40-year walk would not be over when they got across the Jordan to their so-called promised land. Walking was not a means to that end. Walking was life. They wouldn't just have a new groove, they would be walking in a new groove. But walking together and with the one who had led them all this way and was with them yet. Have you noticed this about your life? I'm a pretty serious, intentional, and planned out kind of guy. Always was. I like to be strategically opportunistic, which means when I see a bus that's going where I wanted to go, even though it wasn't the one I was waiting for, I take it. But I never just drifted, looking and waiting for something to happen. And each time I got to the next step of my plan, I tended to think, I made it. As I got older, I modified that to, I made it this far, because I realized that wherever I'd made it to was just a step on the way to something else that I probably couldn't see yet. It didn't have to be my final destination to be worth, even essential, trying to get there. That's the groove. It may go round and round, it may seem slow and tedious, but without the learning, the experience, the chance to grow, the next step, you aren't ready for the destination. You aren't ready for the other side of the Jordan River. That doesn't mean that it's the journey, not the destination, but it does mean that the destination without the journey is no longer the destination. I think that made sense. Yeah, you figure it out. A wisdom writer wrote this some 2,600 years ago or so. It resonated with people enough to be handed on to us. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's Psalm 119, verse 105. I missed the inside of that verse of poetry for years until I lived in Papua New Guinea and had to walk mountain trails through moonless nights with my Papua New Guinean colleagues. I always thought of lamps and lights from our 20th and 21st century perspective, in which you flip on the light and you can see everything around you and you just go everywhere you want to go. I turn on the kitchen light and I head straight to the fridge. In life, that means we expect, or at least we desire, some clairvoyance about our future, what we should do, where we should live, who we should marry. And we entertain this ridiculous notion that God has a plan for our lives that we should, if we truly believe, be able to see and know and be able to just go straight there. Life doesn't work that way. It's another good reminder of why we need to consider what the words we read in the Bible meant to the people who wrote them. In Papua New Guinea, I got a glimpse into that ancient mind. A lamp for us, walking through the rainforest at night, was a kerosene lamp. Not the high-pressure ones you pump up and it blasts light out, but the little ones with a cloth wick. All you can see when you're carrying one of these is enough to take your next step. And then another one after that. That's what life is like. Your word, your wisdom, the truth of the fabric of this universe we live in, it is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. I wish that when you got into the new groove, when you got across the river, when Derek Chauvin was found guilty, when we signed the Paris Climate Accord, when you started the new job, you got married, you graduated from college, that everything was finally set. The future was clear. But it's not. What it is a better place from which to see the next step. A realization like that, for me, was about this community fabric. I started it as the answer to what, to me, was the problem with church. What I learned is that if we are part of the new groove, and I think we aren't the destination, but part of what needs to happen so that what's next can be seen, and someone someday might get there. Funny, that's not disappointing to me to not have fabric be the ultimate church, but just a step along the way to figuring out what being church could mean. It means we don't have to play games and pretend we made it, when the truth in our bones knows that we may be doing some great things, but there's still a lot to wrestle with, things to learn, ways to be, life to live. We aren't expected to have it all figured out. We're expected to keep walking. How about you? Tired? It's okay. Stop at the river. Breathe. Remember. Gather your people. And then, ready or not, equipped with what you can be, cross. New grooves. Always new grooves. Here's a question for you. How do you see life? Is it basically discontinuity with occasional calm periods? Or is life basically equilibrium? Stability with occasional transitions? I'm of the school of thought that says discontinuity is the fact of life, if for no other reason than each day another page turns on the calendar. There's not only no going back, there is no staying where you are. Discontinuity, change isn't something we have to deal with in life, it is life. Now, the Hebrews had one up on us in this because their language, Hebrew, is verb-based. Their sentence structure is built around verbs, the action parts of the sentence. Hebrew then adds nouns as necessary so that the hearer or reader knows what the verbs are referring to, what is acting or being acted upon. But the language is verb-based, action, movement, people on the go. Now, English, like Greek and Latin and most European languages, is a noun-based language. That means that nouns, things, are the basis of our sentences, the subject and the predicate, the static elements, the what's of what we're talking about. And then a verb is plunked down between them to let us know how these things are relating to each other. But in most cases, our sentences are about the nouns. Does that change the way we think, the kind of people we are? Yeah, probably does in some ways. Is one better or worse than the other? No, but it does shape the way we see the world. And as people who live in a world of radical discontinuity, people seeking the new groove and letting go of the old, understanding life in terms of what is happening rather than in terms of what is can make a difference. That's a great example of how we can learn from other people's perspectives of the world, not just from the information they hold, but how they hold it. And it's another good reminder of the pitfall of trying to read the Bible from a 21st century perspective. So this is hard. Have you noticed that? Transitions are hard. It isn't just a matter of a new groove. It is one new groove after another, each changing before the old one turns into a rut. And how do you survive that? How have you survived it to this point? So here is something to know. Discontinuity, the thing that drives you crazy, it is made up of a rhythm. It's the rhythm of stability and change, both always going on at the same time. You always have something changing, that's unavoidable, and you always have something staying the same. You may have to look for it, but yeah, that's also always true. Knowing that this is the nature of discontinuity, celebrating it and using it, it's essential. It turns the burden of change into the opportunity of growth. Now, you may have heard me mention this before, but I'll repeat it because it's so helpful. What helps me understand this rhythm best is our heart. You know, the muscle in your chest that pumps blood throughout your body. Think of that constant pumping as change. Your heart is constantly changing the blood in every part of your body. When does your heart stop beating? Well, we have a name for that. It's called death. Your heart never stops working. It never stops beating. But here's the trick. All parts of your heart are never all working at the same time. You've got the ventricular and the atrial chambers of your heart. I think I got those names right. And while one works, the other rests. Granted, the rests aren't very long, but they're rests. That's what your heart is designed for and what it does. And that is how your heart keeps going on its journey of endless discontinuity. You are the same. You're designed for rest and movement, to breathe and push, for stability and change. You can't be changing everything, but you can always be changing something. You need some place of stability at all times, and you can also always be challenging something in your life or in your world. And here's something else you need to know about the wonderful creation that you are. You have the capacity for this. You can live, you have lived with this rhythm of stability and change all your life, and you can continue to do so. You are designed to live in a world of radical discontinuity. You see, instability, change, is the power for growth. I'm a sailor, and so I return to sailing metaphors much more than I probably should, but this one really works. Sailboats are like you and I. They're designed for instability. They rely on the instability of the air. I don't mean to get all technical on you, but this air instability is called wind. Without this instability, without wind, a sailboat is just a boat. Without wind, they can't do what they're designed to do. They're designed to capture that instability and to use it to go forward, to make progress. The same is true for us. But we tend to shy away from instability. We want the comfort of the status quo, calm air, calm waters. They're familiar, safe. That comfort you seek, that's your stability, what you need in order to deal with change. But there's a danger in this. You see, you can't let your comfort level depend on your stability level. Or to translate that, don't mistake comfort for a lack of change, because change is inevitable, remember? And it's good for you. New grooves, remember? If you can only be comfortable when there is no change, well, you'll never be comfortable. We use the comfort zone, danger zone paradigm often with fabric, and it works like this. If your comfort zone reflects all the parts of your life in which there is no challenge, no change, and whenever there is challenge and change, you're popped out of it into your danger zone, you're screwed, because it's going to happen to you all the time, whenever something unexpected, unanticipated happens. Should you venture into the world you can't control, boom, you're in your danger zone. And that means anxiety, panic, worry, a recipe for disaster. Unfortunately, that is exactly what we do a lot of the time. We need to stop pitting stability against change. What if we saw them as partners working with each other? When I do that and I don't force myself to choose between stability and change, then I can venture into the unknown, into the world beyond my preferences, my habits, my control. And I can create a brand new zone between comfort and danger called growth. A growth zone takes pieces from my danger zone and uses the stability of my comfort zone to move forward, to grow, to adapt to discontinuity, to cross the river as the person the wilderness was shaping me to be, not just the one I used to be. Now, this isn't just an issue of our preferences, like the radio station you listen to, not playing the music you like anymore. And by the way, if that's your problem, they created Spotify for you so you don't have to re-examine your preferences. You can just put your old playlist on repeat, okay? But it's also true around the big stuff, like racial justice and white supremacy, our habits that depend on consuming our planet rather than living aligned to it. It's these big, lifetime, long-haul issues. Israel tried to let us know this by remembering that they spent how long in the wilderness? 40 years. Yeah, meaning pretty much forever, two generations, long enough that no one who started the journey finished it. Many of these new grooves we face today aren't simple. They won't get resolved overnight or even in our lifetimes, but they are the path forward. There's a lot of change around us, and you may have noticed that not everyone is able to adapt to it as well as others. People struggle more who have more stake in the old, or who don't have personal relationships with those who represent the new wave, or people who don't have a support network to help them cope with change, or those already overwhelmed by other issues in their lives. Those people are less likely to have the capacity to adapt to change. And sometimes we're self-righteous about change because for some reason, this new groove fits in our plans, and we just can't see why others are fighting it. We believe the change is needed or inevitable, so how can others miss that? True or not, the fact is that change is change, and change is hard. It represents loss, and loss means pain, and people don't like pain, including you, including me. People need to be walked through it. The question is, how can we be better at creating a growth zone for change? And how can we help others create a growth zone? Not to make them turn out like us, but so that they can grow and us along with them. A big part of the answer to those questions comes from the other side of the discontinuity rhythm, the stability side. And it's found in the nature of the stability we seek. Psalm 1 hints at it when it reminds us to be like trees rooted by streams of water. You may remember us talking about that a couple of weeks ago. Moses points at it when he asks us to remember what we learned from Yahweh, the source of all things, and from the 40 years in the wilderness. The depth of those reference points gives us clues as to where stability is to be found. Stability is to be found deep down, not at the surface. If you find your stability on the surface, on the superficial circumstances of life, you're going to feel like the world is capricious, unreliable, and you are going to feel like its victim. Changes aren't good or bad because of what they usher in or out. They're just bad because they're different. Today's world is a deeply disturbing place for the person who finds their stability near the surface. Okay, sailboats again. Sailboats can make progress. They can go forward from being driven by the instability of the wind only because they have a keel, that heavy fin-shaped thing on the bottom of the boat. 80% of a sailboat's weight is below the waterline. Without that, wind coming across the side of the boat would flatten it. But with the stability of the keel, it is able to take that instability of the wind and convert it into forward motion. Stability and change working together. Where do you find your stability? Is it at the surface? In the trappings of your life? Your circumstances? Routines? Is it because your schedule doesn't change? The people around you confirm your ideas instead of challenging them? Or is your stability found deep down? Is it in a sense of self-worth, despite mistakes and failures you may have had? Is it in your history of dealing with change and the confidence that that can give you in trying again? Is it in a community of people that you can be vulnerable with and whom you know will support you? Have you anchored yourself in principles that are bigger than the circumstances of your life and that you can hang on to and find meaning and purpose in even when the world reels? The basic idea of fabric is to be a community that will give you both stability and change. We want to help anchor you in things that matter and surround you with people with whom you can weave life broadly in order to support and be supported, and to help you weave life deeply with that which is beneath, below, above, between, and beyond all of us. At the same time, it is our job to challenge you with the things that matter, and people whom you trust well enough to explore beyond your comfort zone. We want to help you grow. Friendship, support, accountability, learning, fun. That's growth. When we talked New Grooves a number of years ago, we ended by remembering some words of Jesus that speak to who you are on the banks of the river that you need to cross. He said this, "Come to me, all you that are weary, carrying heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke, it is easy, and my burden, it is light." Jesus has no intention of taking the yoke away from you. That yoke is growth. But he has no intention of you carrying it on your own either. He wants you to know that this path, the new groove, is where you will find life, your heart's desire. New grooves. Yeah, they're a lot of work. But a lot less than trying to keep everything old going when it's past its time. Like a mentor of mine used to say, "Greg, if the horse is dead, quit whipping it and dismount." True, new isn't always better, but growth is healthy. And old isn't always bad, but change is inevitable. So seek growth and face change. You stand at the banks of various rivers today as you listen to this, and so do I. They're probably swirling around in your head and in your heart, just like mine are. What will you do? Turn around and head back where you came from? Rush across just to get there? Or will you pause to remember? Take on that holy task of remembering who you are, what matters, what you've learned getting to where you've made it to, and who you are on this journey with. Pause, breathe, remember, then, with fear and trembling, step into the river and your new groove. We'll see you there.
Thanks for listening. We talk about these podcasts as conversations, but for that to be true, others need to join in this conversation. You can always find discussion resources at fabricmpls.com, and especially right now, share a question or comment you have on social media to get the conversation going. Don't forget to tag FabricMPLS. And again, thank you for being part of this conversation and helping this fabric we're part of to be woven deeply.